Astrophobos. In the midnight heavens burning through the ethereal deeps afar, once I watched with restless yearning an alluring aureate star, every eve aloft returning, gleaming nigh the Arctic car. Mystic waves of beauty blended with the gorgeous golden rays, fantasies of bliss descend in a mirrored Elysian haze, in the lyre-born chords extended, harmonies of Lydian lays. There, thought I, lie scenes of pleasure where the free and blessed dwell, and each moment bears a treasure freighted with a lotus spell, and there floats a liquid measure from the lute of Israfel. There, I told myself, were shining worlds of happiness unknown, peace and innocence entwining by the crowned virtue's throne, men of light, their thoughts refining, purer, fairer than my own. Thus I mused when o'er the vision crept a red delirious change, hope dissolving to derision, beauty to distortion strange, hymnic chords in weird collision, spectral sights in endless range. Crimson burned the star of madness as behind the beams I peered. All was woe that seemed but gladness ere my gaze with truth was seared. Cacodemons mired with madness through the fever flickering leered. Now I know the fiendish fable that the golden glitter bore. Now I shun the spangled sable that I watched and loved before. But the horror, set and stable, haunts my soul forevermore. The Peace Advocate. The vicar sat in the firelight's glow, a volume in his hand, and a tear he shed for the widespread woe, and the anguish brought by the vicious foe that overran the land. But never a hand for his king raised he, for he was a man of peace, and he cared not a whit for the victory that must come to preserve his nation free and the world from fear release. His son had buckled on his sword, the first at the front was he, but the vicar his valiant child ignored, and his noble deeds in the field deplored, for he knew not bravery. On his flock he strove to fix his will and lead them to scorn the fray. He told them that conquest brings but ill, that meek submission would serve them still to keep the foe away. In vain did he hear the bugle sound that strove to avert the fall. The land, quoth he, is all men's ground. What matter if friend or foe be found as master of us all? One day from the village green hard by, the vicar heard a roar of cannon that rivaled the anguished cry of the hundreds that lived but wished to die as the enemy rode them o'er. Now he sees his own cathedral shake at the foeman's wanton aim. The ancient towers with the bullets quake, the steeples fall, the foundations break, and the whole is lost in flame. Up the vicarage lane file the cavalcade, and the vicar and daughter and wife scream out in vain for the needed aid that only a regiment might have made ere they lose what is more than life. Then quick to his brain came manhood's thought, as he saw his erring course, and the vicar his dusty rifle brought, that the foe might at least by one be fought, and force repaid with force. One shot, the enemy's blasting fire, a breach in the wall cuts through. But the vicar replies with his wakened ire, fells one armed brute for each fallen spire, and in blood is born anew. Two shots, the wife and daughter sink, each with a mortal wound. And the vicar, too maddened by far to think, rushes boldly on to death's vague brink with the manhood he has found. Three shots, but shots of another kind, the smoky regions rend, and upon the foeman with rage gone blind, like a ceaseless, resistless, avenging wind, the rescuing troops descend. The smoke pall clears, and the vicar's son his father's life has saved. And the vicar looks o'er ruin done, ere the victory by his child was won, his face with care engraved. The vicar sat in the firelight's glow, a volume in his hand, that brought to his hearth the bitter woe which only a husband and father can know and truly understand. With a chastened mien he flung the book into the leaping flames before, and a breath of sad relief he took as the pages blackened beneath his look, the fool of peace no more. Epilogue. the Reverend Parson, waked to man's estate, laments his wife's and daughter's common fate. His martial son in warm embrace enfolds and clings the tighter to the child he holds. His peaceful notions, banished in an hour, will nevermore his wit or sense devour. But steeped in truth, 'tis now his nobler plan to cure, yet recognize, the faults of man.